Special guest joining us. He'll be performing coming up on November 11th at Rexall Place for CFR. He's a former Vancouver Canucks draft pick, realized that organization was terrible, so he didn't want to play for them and elected to become a star country musician. Chad Brownlee joins us. Chad, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. You didn't pull that from my bio, obviously.
No, I didn't, but I was just saying that on behalf of Edmontonians, right?
Well, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more often with Vancouver prospects.
They would just quit.
Yeah, sure. And do something else, and then be really good at something else.
Wow. I enjoy being the punching bag.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not you, man. Hey, you made the right decision. Yeah. We're actually saying good decision
by
you.
Decision.
Hey, trust me, you've had more success than the Canucks, so hey, let's not kid ourselves. Before I get to the music stuff, hockey-playing guy turns musician. You played in the BCHL, then you were drafted by the Canucks, and then went to Minnesota State for 4 years, got your degree. When did you make the decision that you were a better musician than hockey player?
It would have been my first and only year playing in the minors. I was in the ECHL, actually, with the Idaho Steelheads.
Yeah.
And I had shoulder problems most of my life and had surgery on both of them. And I injured them again that year.
Okay.
And I was out for about a month and a half. And when I came back, I became the grocery stick. I sat in between the defensemen and the forwards.
Okay.
Kept that divide. I wasn't the same player when I came back. I was a physical player, stay-at-home defenseman. And as soon as I kind of lost that strength in my shoulder, it really started to change. And it changed the love for the game for me. And I was literally counting down the seconds, and I wanted to just go home. And I thought, there's no way I should be doing something where I count down the seconds. Like, life's way too short to be doing that. So I figured, okay, what else do I love? Well, music. And I just began to love that even more and work on it and progress and decided to jump in 100% and try to make a career of it.
So as athletes, we kind of know, hey, you got to train, you got to work out, you got to be on the ice, you're working on your shot, you're working on everything. Now, as a musician, how do you work on, I guess you just write songs, but how does someone start and suddenly be like, you know what, I think I'm going to write some songs?
Yeah, well, that's just kind of how it started for me. I was writing music when I was, actually, my first song I ever wrote was in my dorm room at Minnesota State.
Sober?
What's that?
Sober?
I actually was, surprisingly.
Oh, okay, there you go. Nice.
And then it was basically kind of a musical journal for me. I wrote a song for my parents, past girlfriends, and just whatever I wanted to write about. And never did I think I was going to make a career out of it until I started to love music a little bit more. But it's one of those things, just like hockey, you need to work on it. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. When I first quit hockey, I went and got vocal lessons, worked on my guitar playing. I went and did open mics to practice playing in front of people. And then I took out, a pretty big loan to do a demo album.
Okay.
So I was doing everything that I knew possible to kind of kickstart this career. And luckily, met the right people that, brought me into the country world. And my first single went top 20, which blew me away. And I just haven't looked back since. So there's a lot of variables that worked out in my favor that have created this career for me.
Do you think being a good looking guy is a bigger deal if you're a musician? Like, does it help that much?
I think in the entertainment business alone, obviously it helps as a factor.
I know it helps on radio because clearly, look at me.
Look at us. Radio on TV.
But I ask that in all sincerity. Like, obviously you have a good voice and everything, and you wonder, like, when the doors, you look at certain musicians and some, boy bands are obviously different. I think, in country music, you do have to sing. There's not as much synthesizers and anything else like that. So you still need, that singing quality. But I just wonder if you felt like that opens doors quicker than maybe other people.
Well, I think it does. I think on a psychological level, I have my psychology degree. I was quite fascinated in that. We actually studied the effects of good-looking people in certain situations where they're more likely to get helped by strangers than non-attractive-looking people. And they've done studies on this as well. So it's a very, I think, a human thing to be more apt. And it's kind of shallow. It sounds very shallow.
Yeah,
but
it totally
I think it's just... just the reaction. I'll
explain why Rashog didn't know how to put on his mud flaps. No one would help him. Figure it out.
No one pulled over. Yeah, here's a question. Just because I've been, I was in the Sound of Music in high school, and so that's my Is there video of this?
Do you want to sing Edelweiss on the show?
He made me sing in studio. It was like the worst because I somewhere along the line I developed like this fear of singing in public. And so for me, I guess I still like I have like these dreams in the back of my head where it's like, man, like that would be so much fun. I would love performing. Like, how did you find or what was the difference between because you did and it was the East Coast League, but playing on the professional level, like in front of a crowd, like what was the difference between the types of rush or the type of adrenaline that you get where you know you're at like a big giant Boots and Hearts festival playing in front of 40,000 people and East Coast you know you don't get 40,000 people NHL unless you're at a Winter Classic you get 40,000 mm-hmm. people but you know you're still in front of a big crowd and they're screaming and they're loud like what was the difference in terms of the feel of the adrenaline or how you like get pumped up when you're out there.
Yeah, you know what? I think there's actually a lot of similarities between the two just because of the type of energy that brings when you have that many people surrounding an event. You know, I played in some really big buildings when I was playing university in Wisconsin. They could fit 16,000 people in there. And obviously, they're not in favor of you. So when you come on the ice, everybody's booing. But, oh, absolutely. You know the feeling. You know what? The difference, there really isn't that much for me. It's just that I feed off of that adrenaline. It's such a rush. And I find I perform, even in hockey, I perform better under pressure situations. It just seemed to bring something else out of me. So I think that definitely helped me when entering into this career in music, for sure.
Country music star Chad Brownlee, former Vancouver Canucks draft pick, join us in studio. You performed at the CFR a few years ago. You come back to this. Have you ever, when you perform around the CFR, I love the CFR. I have a lot of my family members who have been in it for years. I love getting close to this. You ever get down there and go for a fun bronc ride or anything?
No, I haven't.
No? They never invite you guys down, would you?
Well, it sounds pretty appealing.
Oh, buddy, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
All right.
Yeah, like, you know, you're not going to get on a bull. Let's not kid ourselves because we'd get crushed. But you could probably try a steer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What about one of those sheep rides?
Well, I think he's a little too big for mutton busting.
Well, you got to, you know, baby steps, right, Jason?
True. Yeah. I guess
that's
if you
what
had
I
like,
want
a,
to do.
Yeah, like a big one. But you could like cowboy poker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would even just fold out of there.
Come on. You just like, hey, you said that you perform better in, you know, pressure situations.
Well, certain pressure situations.
There's like pressure and there's stupidity. And that to me is just like, oh, geez. But you know what? As long as it's not me and I get to watch it, it's entertaining
well,
stupidity.
Of course. Hey, you know what? You just got to have bigger gonads than the other guys at the table,
true.
Right? And hope that the bull actually just runs to the, because really, it's pure luck. If the bull goes to the right side of the table and you're on the left, you're like, well, I'm not going to leave. I'm lucky. I'm good.
That's just crazy.
That is crazy.
Now, Matt was talking about the big concert you performed at this summer, Boots and Hearts, over 40,000 people. And, you know, I think a lot of people watch and they see someone on stage and like, man, as Matt just said, well, that'd be such a cool thing to do. How do you build up to that? Like, did you find to become a better performer? Because I've talked a lot on the show, like I'm not a big guy who goes to a lot of concerts, but I've been to a few and I'm like, the guy's got to be a performer. Right, we know he's a good singer. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. How did you learn the on stage persona to be a good performer, not just a good singer?
I was just thrown into the fire from day one. You know, I didn't grind it out or cut my teeth in the bar scene. There's moments where I wish I did because you learn so much. But, you know, taking a turn from hockey, you're battling out in the trenches,
sure,
basically. But actually, the very first big stage that I played at was in Camrose for Big Valley Jamboree.
Oh, nice.
And I remember how big that stage felt. I was just lost. And wow, my bandmates are way too far away from me right now. So I was literally thrown into the fire and you just find a way to entertain. I remember thinking, well, just keep it simple. I never put down my guitar in the early days. Now I put it down all the time, work the stage, you know, use the catwalk in the front. But that just comes with experience. And I've seen a performance coach once and they kind of help open up, some ideas for you and whatnot. But before that I was just on my own and I would watch a lot of videos on YouTube and watch like a Keith Urban DVD. Cause I think he's one of the greatest entertainers there is. So I would just pick up little things from watching people and see how the crowd reacts to certain things. But I always try to keep it simple.
Now, did you grow up, you're from Kelowna, which is not really a country hotbed. Were you a country guy growing up or did you just morph into country?
Yeah. Garth Brooks actually got me into
it. Oh, he was pretty good.
He's legit.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure he's inspired a lot of people to get into the country genre. And my parents, they always listen to Alan Jackson and Clint Black. And,
oh, nice.
So, yeah, country was always a part of my life.
Have you had a song about your dog dying yet?
No.
No, because isn't that kind of a staple in country music?
It is.
Like, and your dog dies, your girlfriend
breaks
in your
truck. I don't
know why
people get so mad at that. Like, that's real life.
Well, no, I'm just asking.
Well, they say if you play a country song backwards, you get your dog, your truck, and your girlfriend back.
Hey. It's real life. Joe, that's what happens.
Joe, you should try that.
Yeah.
Now, you did mention, Chad, how you talked about your, you wrote the song about your girlfriend, right? Is it easier writing songs about people you know, or does it have to come from, you know, as Matt says, like real life heartbreak? Does that make it easier or harder? Like, how do you, where do you get the motivation to write a song?
I think it's easier to draw off of those experiences if you've lived them.
Okay.
But I've also been in situations where the co-writer I'm with has had the experience. So we kind of understand his perspective and we write a song about that because we've only experienced so many things. You kind of have to delve into different ideas and draw from other people's experiences as well. But for me, I love, you know, writing songs about what I've experienced and what I've felt. Because I think if I can feel it, the listener can too, because we're all human at the end of the day. And I feel like if it's authentic that way, it's going to speak to the listener.
Chad Brownlee joins us in studio. He'll be performing at CFR coming up in a few weeks' time, of course, at Rexall Place. And former Vancouver Canucks draft pick, have you ever thought of writing a hockey song?
I have. Actually, I started one with Derek Rutan, who's another Canadian country artist. We haven't finished it yet, but we're working on it.
You know, it's hard because you have Stomp and Tom, right? Like you obviously it has to be very different than that, right?
Yeah.
I would
absolutely
think.
Absolutely.
So is now what's the premise of the song, if we don't mind? Can you give us the premise?
Yeah, it's about the journey of the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Yeah, where it began, the very beginning.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's got a bit of a kind of a Celtic vibe to it. So it's really neat. I hope we finish it soon.
With country and rock and even you know, like hip hop, kind of, well, not so much hip hop really, but pop. The lines are a lot blurrier now than they used to be a few decades ago. Do you plan, do you see yourself crossing over a little bit?
I think within the country genre, it's almost like you don't have to cross over because it's so wide open. You know, you want pop, you want rock. I mean, those flavors are becoming what's making the country genre, you know? So it's kind of an exciting time. I know some people have a bit of dissonance when genres change because we all have problems with things that change, but I think as far as Canadian country music right now, it's a super exciting time. But yeah, there's a lot of flavors in the genre.
Have you, and Majo is killing me if I don't ask this question, have you met Taylor Swift?
I haven't.
You haven't.
No.
If you meet Taylor Swift, can you put in a good word for Majo?
Absolutely.
If you don't know, see this, he keeps this in our studio all the time. it's the highlight of his life. He's got a big crush on Taylor. And
that's awesome.
She's kind of leaning away from him in the picture. But
I'll put in a good word, man.
Yeah. Put in it. There it
goes. I got your back.
Yeah, that's his fist pump right there. So he's rather excited right now
that's
that you
awesome.
Could put in a word. So when you go traveling, who is the one star where you're like, man, I can't believe I'm meeting this guy or this gal. This is awesome. And you were kind of tongue-tied.
I don't know if I've had that experience yet. I've never been one to be too starstruck, but okay. I'm just in awe with some of the talent that's out there. You know, it's kind of neat at these festivals, like we were talking about with Boots and Hearts. I'm able to play my show and stand side stage and watch some of these acts that have been around for a long time, like Keith Urban and Eric Church. And so I think those moments for me, I kind of turn into a little kid and a true fan where I sit there. And I'm like, wow, this is fantastic.
So are you still a hockey fan? Who's the team you cheer for?
Yeah, Vancouver, man.
So you were a Canucks fan. So that was kind of the dream, getting drafted by the Canucks.
It was. Yeah. I grew up in BC. Obviously, my dad was a huge Canuck fan. I watched him on TV. And so, yeah, it was a pretty special moment when I got that call.
Now, were you there? You weren't part of the riot. Were you in 11?
No, I only threw one cocktail.
Okay.
And then
okay.
I got out of there.
Just good. Yeah. Yeah. Smart. Just one and done. You were in. And,
no, I was actually on a writer's retreat on the Sunshine Coast when that happened. I turned the TV off because I was so angry. So I found out about the riots the next day.
Yeah.
And you never like to hear about that stuff.
No, it's always a few hooligans that ruin
exactly.
it for the majority. Like every, you know, it's not like Edmonton can cast stones. I'm pretty sure we were starting fires on White Avenue in 2006. So that's, obviously it wasn't a riot, but
it sort of
still,
was a riot. It was close.
Less than intelligent decisions, I think, can happen at times. Any scary thing for a musician at all? Guys on stage, crazed fans?
Well, I've had a couple stage rushers, and one came from behind me. That kind of freaked me out a little bit and ran right past me, kind of blindsided me. And they just jumped off the front of the stage. But Security guard was standing right there. And it's just like, dude,
yeah, what are you doing?
Come on, man. but you know what? For the most part, people are great. They just want to, you know, have a good time.
And what will you be performing at CFR this year?
Performing, you know, some of the old hits, some of the new ones, mixing a couple covers. Just want to bring a good time for everybody.
What is your favorite cover?
My favorite cover? I'm going to say Free Fallin', Tom Petty.
Oh,
I can't get that one out of the
song.
I can't get that out of the set list.
Here's a question. We had talk about this last week where we were talking about if you could spend a week on tour bus, would you spend it with Tom Petty or would you spend it with Snoop Dogg? And I said Tom Petty, and this meatball over here said Snoop Dogg. So I don't. You might have to solve our argument.
I'm going with Petty.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
Well, you had chose Petty. I'm not going to just agree. So, yeah.
You should agree.
Hey, Snoop Dogg's quite the legend. Like, hey, I'd love to sit down with Petty.
Both would be a great man.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You know, for different reasons, but they also, I think, have some similarities as well, right? I think the hippie whiskey was popular for both of them.
One similarity.
Yeah. Yeah. cannabis, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm just going to go on a limb on that one, but... I think it would be cool. And that's a heck of a song. So Ted, November 11th is when you're performing,
you
correct?
Got it.
At CFR, what time?
It's going to be around 10:30, 11:00, so it'll be a late show.
10:30. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Are you like hockey players? Do you have to have a game day nap as well?
Sometimes I do.
Really?
And you know what's funny? That's one thing that's remained the same is kind of my show day preparation because Matt knows what it's like. You know, you kind of have to have your routine. It's almost superstitious, you know, mm-hmm. And it just gets you into the right mindset.
So would you, because I asked Brett Kissel this earlier, he's a good friend of the show as mm-hmm. well, you know, a real up and coming Canadian star. And I asked him, because he's a diehard Oilers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in Calgary, they gave him a Flames jersey, wanted him to wear the Flames jersey on stage, and he just put it on his arm and didn't wear it. Right? So are you that diehard of a Canucks fan? If you came and, because everybody, oh, you guys are the greatest fans. You know, everybody says that. It's totally fine. I get it.
Yeah.
Some will wear the jerseys. Could you pull an Oilers or Flames jersey on and not feel creepy about it?
There was only one time in my life where I refused that, and that was in Toronto.
Great decision. Fantastic.
So the Leafs. All right. So the Leafs. You're like, no, thanks. Can't put on the white and blue.
Everyone else, you're good.
Okay. There you go.
That was it was pretty fresh after I stopped playing hockey.
Okay.
Maybe now I'd be, you know, a little bit more diplomatic. But at the time, they brought it into the room. And I'm just like, no, I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Yeah. I love it. Hey.
Good for you.
What was their reaction?
They were kind of, you know, shocked by it. Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was like, well, I'm just not doing it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't need to lie. I'm not a Leaf fan, right? Yeah. You could wear if they would have brought you a Jays jersey, you probably could have worn it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
There you go.
That would be very easy to wear because it's the only team in Canada right now.
So. Way easier, or even a Raptors jersey.
Yeah.
I you know what? If they said Raptors jersey, I'd say no though. Like I want a Vancouver Grizzlies jersey.
Well, retro, sure.
Vancouver Grizzlies.
That's just, he nice. Loves wearing basketball. Yeah,
I want a big country jersey. Yeah. Give me a big country jersey. You know, wear that.
Is there even any of those still made?
There better be. Love big country.
Chad, appreciate it. Congratulations on all the success transferring from hockey into the country music world. And obviously, you made the right decision. Best of luck. We'll see you at CFR on the 11th.
Thank you so much.